Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Country artist Jada Dreyer was my guest on the show around this same time last year when her debut album was released. I, along with so many country listeners, fell in love with her voice and her song, Half Broke Horses. The album was produced by Grammy Award-winning producer Byron Gallimore, who has put his magic touch on more than 40 number one country singles. Jada has had three of her songs featured on the hit ABC show Nashville, and we'll talk about all that and more. My pleasure to welcome back to the show Jada Dreyer. Hey, Jada.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm in California temporarily for 3 months, and so I just moved into my new apartment and just went and got groceries and getting all settled in.
Well, that's very cool to hear. I saw on Facebook you had posted a picture of Marilyn Monroe where you're living, which is really cool.
Yeah, I was staying the first couple days. I was staying at the Roosevelt Hotel, which
right.
you know is the legendary hotel in Hollywood. And they're getting ready for the Oscars on Sunday, and it was pretty cool seeing them literally right across the street putting up the big Oscar and getting ready for the events on Sunday. So
yeah.
that was pretty cool.
That's pretty neat. Have you run into anybody, Jada, anybody from the Hollywood world yet while you've been there?
You know what? I probably have, but to be honest, I'm always in my own kind of world that I don't pay too much attention. So I probably have if I would just open my eyes.
That is too funny. Well, it's so exciting, everything going on right now, especially with the TV show Nashville. I'm a huge fan of the show. So many people in Canada are. Gives us a great insight into Nashville, but all the drama, too, just all the relationships tied in with the music. So congratulations on three of your songs so far being featured on the show.
Thanks. It's been a real trip. I was a fan of the show before I even had any songs placed in it, and so to have my song featured within that show has been a real honor.
You've had the songs Tell Me, This Town, and Dreams, and I think two of those are on the current soundtrack that's out?
They are, yeah. The song This Town, they're pushing that for the Emmy nomination, so fingers crossed.
Wow, how exciting is that?
Pretty cool. It'd be a good excuse to get a fancy dress.
And you wrote This Town with Corey Mayo and Andrew Rollins, and that song really lyrically speaks about that journey in Nashville to try to find a place as a singer and a songwriter.
It does. You know, it's funny, both This Town and Dreams came from a very real, authentic place for me, and Corey and I, we'd been getting together quite often, and we'd been writing during this specific time, and we were both kind of just frustrated. We were banging our heads against the wall about several different things, about work, about life, and love, and everything. And so the songs came out very raw and real, and they came from such a real place that it was really cool to see them placed within the show and within their storyline. And they fit the show so perfectly. And we didn't really write them for that show, but it's funny how they just fit that way.
Well, that's interesting, yeah, because they do help to further the story and to sort of give insight into the characters. This Town, for example, sung on the show by Claire Bowen and Charles Esten, Scarlett and Deacon.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to write with pretty much everybody on the show except for Connie and Hayden. But they've been all so great. And I'm a huge fan of the Deacon character and Scarlett as well.
Right.
And so it's been really cool to see the characters grow and the little problems that they get themselves in and how they get themselves
out.
Yeah,
I know. And a cliffhanger every week that makes you have to tune in and can't wait to tune in the next week to see how it gets resolved.
Right.
Love that show. Now, last time we spoke, you talked about doing some acting in Atlanta before the music took off, although music's always been a part of your life, but you talked about that. And so I was wondering, with the success with these songs in Nashville, any chance of you appearing on it in any kind of role, a cameo, seeing you on there?
You know what? You never know. Nothing is currently set in stone or anything, but if they would like me to be on the show, I definitely wouldn't turn it down. it would be a cool thing. And with me being in L.A. right now, you never know.
I think that's great. Can I ask you what took you to L.A.? I'm sure our listeners are curious.
I can't really say right now, but but it'll be cool things. I'm out here for some acting stuff. I can say that much.
Awesome. All right. So we will try to follow that online when news comes out about that. You know, I think it's pretty amazing the success you've had so far as an artist, as a songwriter. Of course, Half Row Courses, to name just one of the songs. But you, when you were starting out, didn't think you would end up as an artist. You thought you would be more of just the songwriting side of things.
I did. You know, I was very much a realist when I moved to Nashville in the sense that I knew I didn't know anybody moving there, and I knew that I didn't sound like Carrie Underwood and Taylor Swift and all these different people that I was hearing on the radio at the time. So I just kind of figured that my place was as a songwriter. And little did I know that someday the reasons that I thought that I couldn't do that is the exact reason that people ended up liking me. So it's funny how things work out.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? Sometimes it's timing. The traditional sound, for example, when Randy Travis brought it back in the late 80s, and, you know, it kind of turned one way, and then he came around and turned the tide. So you never know when your voice is going to be right for radio and for country fans.
That's right.
You know, I think it's something country fans always crave. I mean, radio might go in a different direction, but I think country fans always want to hear traditional stuff, for example, Half Row Courses. They could really either relate to it or at least relate to the emotion in the song.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm obviously a fan of very traditional country music. And I think that, you know, everything evolves and everything changes. But I think for the most part, people are drawn to country music because of that. And I hope it stays that way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely there is that interest, and that it's a strong interest that, as you said, is what draws people to it. I want to play a great example of that, a song from your album. I picked a couple of my favorites out to play on the show this time around, and one is called Bad Habits. And I know that this was the first song you performed, your first time on the Opry, which has special significance. Plus, this one was written along with fellow Canadian Daryl Burgess.
That's right. Daryl and I've written, golly, probably 50 songs together now over the years. He's one of my go-to guys. And I remember when we wrote that song in particular, I hadn't played the Opry yet, and I told him, I said, Daryl, when I play the Grand Ole Opry for the first time, this is the song that I'm going to sing. And and I did, and I invited Daryl out, and he got to watch me do it. And it was great, and I just feel like it's one of those songs that Tammy Wynette would have sung back in the day.
Definitely. It has that style to it. And I remarked at that time when we talked about the song last time on the show, I love the spoken intro to it. It just gives it, it's a really cool vibe to the song when it opens like that.
You know, it's we wrote it like that, and I hope it sounds effortlessly, but I probably recorded it 500 times to make it sound like that. It was never quite right. On the demo I did it was just one time. And then I think when you go in and you make a record, you just want things to be extra perfect. So,
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's share it now. This is from your album, I Am Jada Dreyer. And people can find out more about you and get the album at jadadreyer.com or, of course, at iTunes. Let's hear it now, Jada and Bad Habits on In the Country.
Starts with that first glass of Johnny Walker poured, and ends with a slow dance on a hardwood floor. And the feeling we've been here before, yeah, it's so familiar. Before long I'll be smoking one of your cigarettes. Order up another round of regret. And then I'm gonna let my heart forget what I said I'd never do again. And it's gonna feel good. And then I'm gonna feel like I could die. I know I should just push you away while there's still time. Before all my bad habits decide to spend the night, yeah. Tried to quit you in the dim-lit hours. Oh, but my weakness, it just overpowers all of my will and all of my high towers. They crumble, and I know I'm gonna stumble. But it's gonna feel good. And then I'm gonna feel like I could die. I know I should just push you away while there's still time. Before all my bad habits decide. First glass of Johnny Walker pours, and ends with a slow dance on a hardwood floor. And you and I walking through that barroom door together.
It's a great song from my guest, Jada Dreyer, here on In the Country. That is called Bad Habits. And as you mentioned, Tammy Wynette definitely has got that influence in that song.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope she'd say that.
Well, I love it, and I know country fans who crave that kind of sound really enjoy that. Your first performance in Nashville, I understand, Jada, was at a Tin Pan South event.
It was, yeah. I had just moved to Nashville, and I'd been writing with a guy named Billy Crane, who used to play with a band called The Outlaws. And we'd been writing quite a bit together, and he invited me to be a part of his round during Tin Pan South, which is a pretty prestigious songwriting festival that they have in Nashville every year. And I was really nervous. I was very intimidated by that. But I was very, very honored that I was able to perform there, and I'm playing it again this year, so that's,
oh, great.
That's a pretty cool thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that, Jada, that's got to take a level of confidence, which comes with time and writing enough songs to feel confident in them, but when you're getting up there and it's just you and the guitar and you're sharing the song that you've written, it's a little unnerving, I'm sure.
It is, especially if they're brand new songs and nobody's had the opportunity to hear them yet. You know, you might think that they're a cool song, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody else is going to. And so it's just something that you kind of learn with.
When your general approach to songwriting, I know it's different in every case. It might be inspired. It might be, you know, in different ways inspired. But can you take us through sort of what your songwriting approach is?
You know, I honestly, every time I sit down to write, I just try and write the best song that I can that day. And most importantly, just whatever song is in the room that day. Sometimes the song that's in the room isn't the same song that you want to write or you're set out to write.
Right. Yeah.
and so I've learned to kind of just take it as they come. And that's especially true with co-writing. But for me, sometimes it's an idea, sometimes it's a melody first. I try to just roll with whatever's there. Be happy that it is there, because a lot of times, sometimes it isn't.
right, exactly. I'm sure the times when it comes and it does so naturally, you really appreciate it, right? Because there are other times when it's just not there. A lot of singers will choose duet partners for different reasons. Maybe obviously their voices go well together. I wanted to ask you about any surprise pairings, maybe that haven't happened yet, but Jada, is there anybody you can imagine yourself singing with that at first we might think that doesn't seem like it would work, but just might work?
Oh, man, I would love to do a duet with Jack White.
Very cool.
From the White Stripes. I'm a huge fan of his and have been for years, and he really won me over when he did the Van Leer Rose record on Loretta Lynn years ago. But, yeah, I would love to be able to do something with him.
Yeah, I think it's so cool when, as you mentioned there, with Jack White, could sort of reinvent Loretta Lynn for that album and give her, sort of bring her sound contemporary, but still keeping it with that cool country vibe that we expect from her.
That's very true. I think he's kind of a mastermind at that. You know, he also did it with Wanda Jackson not that long ago and did a really great record on her. And I think Jack just has an affinity for not only just great country music, but great music in general, and the fact that he appreciates those artists enough to want to work with them and spend his time doing that, that's something that I think is very I really admire that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's something to be celebrated that they are giving artists who might not have a voice otherwise as far as records to share new music and something a little bit different from them. And I think it's great. And obviously a guy like Jack White in that case is doing it because he has a genuine love of what Loretta does.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I spoke to an artist the other day on the show, Gil Grant, who had recorded a Conway Twitty song, Lost Our Love on Our Last Date, and he said basically he had recorded that a few years back, not because he thought it was going to, you know, hit radio and for any of those kind of reasons, commercial reasons. He did it just because his father loved the song, and he loved that song himself.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I would love to be able to record something like that just because.
I'm sure some of the songs you would do on an album like that would include Kitty Wells and Hank Sr. I grew up with those artists performing in my house through records, of course, through my parents, and I know that you did as well.
Yeah, I miss Kitty. About a month before she passed away, she was Eddie Stone's date to the Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And so I got to actually one of those pictures. I took a picture with her and on my refrigerator. It was one of the coolest moments that I've had being in Nashville, and she was just a wonderful woman, just exuded such grace and just very, very kind. And so I was glad that I was able to meet her. I believe she was 92 years old. And so it was a pretty cool thing that she was still, you know, out and about and there for Eddie. I guess Eddie used to play in her band years ago. That's why he moved to Nashville, was because he was playing fiddle for her.
Isn't that great? It must be a wonderful time, Jada, for you when you get a chance to meet artists like that you have listened to growing up and perhaps seen on television. to meet them in person, that's got to be a great thing.
It is. It's really cool, you know. I'm fortunate that I've had mostly good experiences in that. I know a lot of people have had not so good experiences. So knock on wood, I hope that I continue to have more good ones.
Well, I guess I've heard that kind of thing where people talk about meeting your heroes, and sometimes it's a great thing, of course, and other times maybe you're a little disillusioned. It can happen that way.
It can. You know, I've done a handful of shows with Merle Haggard, and he's such a I've looked up to him for so many years that everybody asks me all the time, well, what's Merle like? What's Merle like? And honestly, I've never met him because I don't want to, because I respect him so much that I just don't want to ruin that opinion that I have of him, you know?
Right. Yeah, isn't it funny? But I can totally relate to that. You want to keep, because you built that person up and you have a certain way of thinking about them, and then reality comes along, and not that it would be a bad thing, but you just want to hold on to that image. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's true. I love
exactly.
that. Well, I think I recall, I know we met at Havelock last year, and I think when you were on that stage, you did a Merle Haggard song or two.
Man, you know what? I probably did. I probably did Mama Tried. I usually do that one every now and then.
I love that one. Love Mama Tried. It's such a classic song. And, I mean, everything Merle sings is just wonderful. Today I Started Loving You Again, another of his classics.
Oh, yeah, until we make it through December. That's a favorite one of mine.
Man, just, you know, those legends are so great. And, of course, we lost George Jones in the last couple of years. And, I mean, his influence lives on. So many artists who are out there today grew up listening to his sound. And you hear his voice, and, I mean, that is country music, and that is, you know, what country sounds like.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and, you know, it's awful that we're losing them more and more every day, it seems like. But, you know, not only my peers, but I hope that I can, you know, carry the torch and keep that going. And not only just by, you know, singing their songs and stuff like that, but educating other people on them. You know, it's an important thing to me.
Yeah. And I admire that because, you know, artists that are younger like yourself can, you know, if you play their music, cover their songs, younger people in the audience who may not have heard George Jones and Merle Haggard, and I'm sure there are some of those, are going to be introduced to those songs, and, you know, and that's how it gets passed on.
Totally. I hope so.
Well, I think you're doing great, and I want to turn to another song from your album. The album is I Am Jada Dreyer, which, again, people can find on iTunes. So many great songs on there. This is another one of them that I picked out called South of the Sun. And last time we didn't play the song, but we talked a bit about it, and you had written it before Christmas a couple of years back, and you sort of talked about this song being your Lord, I Hope This Day Is Good song.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs on the record, and I know you mentioned before I lost you that I'd said before, it's like my own Lord, I Hope This Day Is Good, and it still rings true, and it's one of my favorite songs to sing live, and I end all my shows with it, and I'm just really proud of this song, and it's the very last song on my record, and I think that that's just very appropriate.
Yeah, it's a great closing song and a great one to play right now. Let's hear from Jada Dreyer, South of the Sun, on In the Country.
Give me a sign, Lord, give me a sign. Oh, how about a rainbow? Turn some water to wine. Shine a little love down to light up the way. 'Cause I'm feeling a little bit lost today. Give me a rose, oh, give me a rose. If you plant the seed, Lord, well, I'll make it grow. Every earthly garden, it needs a little help. And I know you wouldn't leave me all by myself. Give me
Another great song from Jada Dreyer. That is called South of the Sun. It's the last track on her album, I Am Jada Dreyer. And it's great all the way through, and I love that little gospel touch at the very end.
Thanks. You know, it was it's funny how that – it was on the work tape from the day that we wrote it. I wrote it with two other people, and one of the girls that's singing on the song with me on the record, I wrote it with her, and we did it on the work tape, and so we figured it was only – right, that we did it on the actual recording as well.
Yeah, isn't that great? I love how stuff that's in the demo and the original writing stays on. And also, I guess, there are probably times, Jada, when stuff was added maybe at the last minute or close to it, where you come across a riff or a special touch and it gets added in the song?
Yeah, that happens all the time, especially with the more produced songs. You definitely see more of that.
Yeah, and you're a great producer, Grammy Award-winning producer, as I mentioned off the top. He's produced more than 40 number one country singles, Byron Gallimore. He started his own label, Stream Sound Records. You were his first artist signed to that. That's got to be exciting, because I know that when you guys met, you felt you had arrived at home. He knew exactly how you needed to be produced.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to work with Byron because of a record that he did on Leanne Womack, and it was the record that had I May Hate Myself in the Morning on it. And when I met Byron for the first time, I knew that's where I was supposed to be. And he's such a down-to-earth, awesome, awesome guy, and you won't find a bigger fan of my voice and my songs than that man right there. And I just can't say enough wonderful things, and he's obviously he's done amazing things for other artists over the years, and I'm just happy that I can be in his presence.
Pretty amazing when you can kind of sit back and, as you talked about, didn't think you'd be an artist, always wanted to write songs, and you've pursued this, and then ending up being produced by a giant like Byron Gallimore. It's pretty amazing. When you're in the studio, is that a pretty comfortable place for you now?
It is. You know, it wasn't at first. It took me a while to kind of figure things out and be comfortable voicing my opinion when I didn't feel that something was right, or if I wanted to try something different. That took a little bit of time. But now I really do. I feel very comfortable there. And it's honestly probably my favorite part of the whole creative process is watching the songs being born. And it's, you just never know how they're going to turn out. And sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're not so good. And you never know.
Yeah, that's funny. That's got to be exciting, though, when it turns better than you thought. Maybe you thought it was a very good song, and in the studio, all of a sudden, it becomes a great song.
Yeah, that's always super exciting.
Not so good when it goes the other way, right?
Exactly. Then you just kind of try and forget that ever happened.
Now, of course, the success with the songs that have appeared on Nashville, and you do some versions of them. Any new music in the near future? I know Hollywood has called your name at the moment, but down the road, are we going to have another album from Jada Dreyer?
Yeah, you definitely will. You know, I'm planning on actually probably cutting some stuff while I'm out here. So hopefully we'll have a new single out by the end of the summer. My fingers are crossed, and I've been writing a bunch, and I'm really excited about the new stuff. I feel like it's going in a more rootsy direction, which I'm very excited about because, you know, you being a fan of the traditional stuff, it's a different flair on that. And so I'm really excited to get to the studio and record those things.
Isn't that great that you're taking it in that direction, because you've obviously got the traditional sound, as we've heard, but that rootsy sound is a great one. And again, I know that fans of country music out there and other genres really crave to hear that, because we don't get that as much.
Totally. And, you know, I feel like it's what I do best, and that's just what I need to be doing. And so I'm really excited to make a new record with songs more in that vein.
Very exciting. What about pitching songs to other artists, songs that you've written? Of course, Nashville has covered your songs. We know the TV show. But do you have, like, a dream person in mind, Jada, that you can't wait to pitch your song to and hopefully have them record it?
Oh, man. Willie Nelson would be pretty cool.
Nice.
I'd be pretty happy with that. But then again, I wouldn't turn down a Taylor Swift cut either.
Indeed. No, that's great. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. We've got the hottest one today and Willie, who's still hot, but a country legend. Now, I wanted to ask you about cover songs. I wrote an article recently for the Country Music Association of Ontario and just talked about cover songs and interviewed some other people about it. But can you let us know some of the songs that you love to cover and obviously get a good reaction from country fans in the audience?
Oh, you know what? I don't do a lot of covers, but when I do, I really, really love the song, or I have to, otherwise I just don't feel like there's any point in me doing it. But there's a song that I actually really want to record on my next record that was written by one of my good friends, Scott Nolan from Winnipeg. And it's called Bad Liver and a Broken Heart, and I sing it quite often. Not that that's some cover song that everybody would know, but that's a cover to me, and I really love that song. Well, I'm trying to think what else I do as far as covers go.
You probably do some Dolly Parton. I know last time we talked about Dolly Parton and how much you're a big fan of hers.
I love Dolly. Yes, I'll whip out a Dolly song every now and then. I'll whip out a Merle song. Yeah, it kind of just depends, you know, what mood I'm in. I do a Bruce Springsteen song called I'm on Fire. I do that quite often. Yeah.
That's cool. That's a great one of his. I love when a country artist does something from another genre, even though that one definitely translates to country very well, but it's cool to hear something made more country.
Yeah, totally. I think any good song that's a well-written song, it can be made country.
That's a good point, actually. I've heard Katy Perry's song, Part of Me, done country, and it fits. I mean, there's a lot of examples of that, of course. But you're right, you can take a song, and yeah, that's awesome. As far as equestrian, when you were younger, you did a lot of horseback riding. You won all kinds of awards. Is that something you've done the last couple of years, or have you been away from that?
I've been away from it. I haven't shown in quite a while since I moved to Nashville, but I do have one horse left, and she's actually in foal, and she's going to have a baby in April. So hopefully she'll have a really nice baby, and I can go back and show non-pro stuff in a few years. That would be fun.
It's so great because I see pictures of you with horses all the time, and, of course, sometimes artists pose with horses because it's a country thing to do, but in your case, it's the real deal.
It is, yeah. They're in my blood, and there's no escaping that.
That's awesome. Well, Jada, I want to thank you so much for your time, for being here, taking your time out of your busy, glamorous Hollywood schedule with all the Marilyn Monroe posters and the big actors that you may or may not have run into yet.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been a country artist, Jada Dreyer, and once again, you can get her debut album on iTunes. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.